My name is Savannah. I am 15 years old. Today is November 21st, 2018, and I'm speaking with Judy Adams Moreland, who is my grandma, and we are recording this interview in Mesquite, Texas. So, Grandma, where is your mom's family from?
Well, my grandmother was born in Liverpool, England, and she moved over here. She came over here when she was 13 years old at the end of World War One. And my grandfather was an orphan. He was left on the Catholic Church orphanage steps when he was like 4 or 5 days old in New York City. He is of Italian lineage, and he was one of those children who came down at a very young age he was very young. He was like four or five years old when they put him on an orphan train. And he came down to Texas and lived with a family, was adopted by a family who had a farm, and they were looking for a child that could work the farm. And so he got to work the farm while the other children that they had, that were their children by blood, while they went to school. So our grandfather learned how to pick potatoes out of the dirt. Cool. And whatever else. So they were pretty poor. And he and my grandmother met and married in Dallas, and that's where my mom was born.
Cool. Where is your dad's family from?
Well, they're from Illinois. My great-grandmother she came over from Germany, and she basically spoke German. She didn't have a whole lot to say to us children because she never learned English very well. My grandfather on my father's side, his parents they were originally from like Holland and somewhere up there in that country. I haven't done all the ancestry on that yet, but they migrated to Illinois, and they were miners, and I think that's, and farmers. They farmed. I found that out too, but you know, they somehow or other got down here, and my dad was born here in Dallas.
Oh, so they were both down
here? No, he was born in Belleville, Illinois, and then moved down here, and he and mom married.
At what age?
I don't know. He was very young when he moved down here, and when he was 17 years old, World War II broke out, and he wanted to go, and so his father signed for him to go into the war at World War II at 17 years old. So he was one of the youngest sailors in Pearl Harbor when Pearl Harbor was attacked.
Have you ever been to Illinois before? If so, what was the experience like?
I have not been to Illinois.
You haven't?
I have not been to Illinois. We never went up there. I don't recall ever being up in Illinois, even when I was tiny. They came down here. The relatives came down here, and they were funny talking people. They were Yankees, and they were fun. They were very rowdy, but they were a good bunch of people. But no, I haven't been there.
What about Dallas? I know you sort of live in Dallas. You sort of have all your
all
life.
Yeah,
but like,
not really.
Sort of.
I was born here. Mom and Dad met here, and all of us were born in Dallas. Dad traveled a lot, was a traveling salesman. And so we moved from one city to another. We lived in several different cities in Texas.
Hmm.
And in fact, during 12 years of schooling, I went to 9 different schools.
Oof.
So that was sometimes very difficult.
Gotta have some tea.
What traditions have been passed down in your family?
Traditions. From my grandmother, my English grandmother, we all learned to have hot tea in the afternoon. At some time in the afternoon, hot tea. With her, we used to have a piece of bread and butter, always real butter, and a cup of hot tea with milk and sugar. Traditions. Family gatherings. Family has always been very important, so holidays have always been very important. Christmas is very important. Easter, Thanksgiving. For many, many years, my very, very large family, my grandmother's and grandfather's side of the family, my mother had three brothers and a sister, and so all of their children and everyone came to Thanksgiving, and we all had a big Thanksgiving time at a church in a fellowship hall that was big enough to hold everyone, and everybody was responsible for bringing their own turkey, a big turkey or a ham, and all the side dishes that go with it, and then we would sit around and play games and talk and visit and keep connected to one another. I don't think of any other big traditions. I mean, I can't think of anything else that's really holding tradition.
Who were your favorite relatives?
That is the easiest question ever. My grandmother from England and my grandfather, Diddle and Gabby. strange names. Gabby I can understand. I was the first grandchild, and I guess Gabby can be granddaddy or granddad or whatever. I can understand a baby calling somebody Gabby, but it stuck. So everybody called him Gabby. Diddle, nobody knows why, but Diddle used to say nursery rhymes to us all the time when I was little. And she would say, "Hey, Diddle, Diddle, the cat and the fiddle, cow jumped over the moon." She'd do that one, and then she would do, "Diddle, Diddle, dumpling, my son John went to bed with his stockings on."
I never heard that one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But that's the only thing I can think of, because she always was saying things like that. And there are probably other ones that had Diddle in it. So Diddle became Diddle. And everybody, her kids, her grandkids, her great-grandkids, all called her Diddle and Gabby. So they're very favorite.
Do you remember any stories they have told you?
I can tell you that my grandfather, one of the memories that he had that he shared with us was Christmas. And he worked hard, and they never had much of anything. But he said at Christmas, all he got for Christmas was he'd come down and buy his plate in the morning would be a candy cane. And those big candy canes, and he didn't know what Christmas was. That was his Christmas. My grandmother, I'll tell you a ghost story about my grandmother. English people are very sensitive about things, I think, and she was very tuned in. She had a little girl that was like 18 months old, and my mother was probably 18 months older than she was, and they were playing in the kitchen. She and Gloria was the little girl's name. And Mom were playing in the kitchen, and they had one of those stoves that stands on four legs. And Diddle kept telling them, "Go out of here! You know you're gonna get hurt. Go out of the kitchen. Go out of the kitchen." And Mom apparently rolled the ball to Gloria, and it went under the stove. And so Gloria toddled over to the stove to get the ball out from under the stove. And when she hit the stove. And it jostled a hot pan of water that was boiling on the stove, and it fell over her and hit her in the head, the water, and literally boiled her brain. They took her to the hospital, and they said there was nothing they could do. And they just said, "Take her home. She's going to die. Take her home and love her." And I think she lasted for about three days. And she died. And my grandmother told me that when she died, that the front door flew open as if her spirit was leaving. Front door flew open. And my grandmother went through a bad time of grieving for that child. And she cried, and she just grieved and grieved and grieved. And one night, her mother, my great-grandmother came to her in a dream, and she was holding the baby, holding the little girl, and told her to stop grieving so hard and let the poor child rest, that the child couldn't rest. So that was one of the stories, but she was always playing games with us, and she'd get down on the floor. She taught us jacks, how to play jacks. She was always good with us. She would dance. She was just fun. She just was a really fun grandmother. But yeah, that story's, Gabby didn't have so many good stories. He had a harder life. But yeah, but they made a good life together and had 6 kids. The one little girl died, and so we were close to all of them. We just loved the family.
What, like, events in your life shaped the world? Like, what events did you go through that shaped the world?
Well, we went, there's a lot of things. When we were little girls, we were real excited because, I mean, little girls, we got a TV, and it was a black and white little tiny screen TV, and that was a brand new thing out. Of course, now they've got flat screen TVs that do all kinds of things, smart TVs. These were just dumb TVs, and they didn't stay on TV. They didn't stay on the channels. There were a few channels, and they didn't stay on 24 hours a day. It was like in the morning you woke up to the American, was it the American, the anthem? And in the evening you would get the anthem too, and then they would turn it off and you'd go to bed. But probably the biggest thing, I vaguely remember the Korean War, but the war that really tore us up was the Vietnam War, and that happened. It had been going on, actually. We just hadn't been a part of it. It had been going on since the 40s or the 50s through several presidents. And when we got involved in the 60s, it was bad. They started drafting our young men. When they turned 18, they all had a draft card. And each, they would have a draft. And those whose numbers were called were called up, and they had to go fight the war. And Vietnam was a different kind of war. It was different than what they had fought in the past. It was more guerrilla warfare. And that's G-U-E-R-I-L-L-A, guerrilla. It was a bad war. It was an evil war. They didn't know who they were fighting. They didn't know if they were fighting it was North and South Vietnam, and they didn't know if they were North Vietnamese, because they all looked alike. Nobody knew anything. The children, they sent children in with bombs strapped to them to blow up our soldiers. It was just, it was a devastating war. It was a very unpopular war. The hardest thing of all was to have our men come home. At the time, it was only men, our young men. So many men died, but a lot of those, of course, were classmates that we had all gone to school with, high school, men, even grade school and on beyond. But they died over there, and those who came home, some came home without arms or legs or, you know, blinded. It was a horrible war. And when they came home, people here treated them as if they were an enemy of some kind. Our own American people would spit on them. They didn't revere them in any way for going to help protect the world or help, you know, to help protect the downtrodden. They just, it was awful. It was horrible. They treated them awful. And
why?
Because it was an unpopular war. It was a very political war, and we shouldn't have been there. We should not have been there. But the problem was, we were there. Our presidents sent us over there. It escalated under Johnson after Kennedy died, and Vice President Johnson took over as president. He sent more and more troops, and it was just a very, very unpopular war. And today you look at them, and they're still fighting. You know, we're not over there. We're in other wars now. Mm-hmm. Other events, it was the kind of the women's movement became where the women decided they wanted to be equal to the men. They've been doing equal jobs, but they weren't getting equal pay. And they wanted some equality, so they started doing things like, let's just burn our bras first and be free. We had, the drugs came in. Woodstock came. It was the hippie time. It was a time of all when the hippies came to be, and there was free love and drugs and wild music. the Beatles kind of brought it in, really, from England. The Beatles were the ones that heralded a new era of music, and we adored the Beatles, but they brought with them some strange things. But Woodstock was really a bad thing. The people still talk about Woodstock today, and even those who are my age who were at Woodstock think it was the coolest thing going. But there were lots of arrests and lots of drug problems. And well, the hippies were something else. A lot of that came out of a lot of the drugs and all came out of Vietnam. A lot of the soldiers were high on pot. They were smoking pot all the time, and part of that was a way to just cope in Vietnam. It was so bad and so evil. But the hippies, they were weird. It all originated there, but they had their own little communes. They wanted to protest against the war. I mean, half of them were probably people who may have even been there for all I know, but they just, they protested, they burned the flags, they didn't like the soldiers. I mean, it was just a really bad time. It was a bad time. So, I don't know what else we're talking
about.
That's
it. Thank you for your time, Judy Adams-Moreland, and I love you.
I love you, too.
Yay!
I don't know what else. I mean, first man on the moon.
Oh, yeah.
First man on the moon was in 1960.
Rosa Parks, first integration.
Yeah, integration. There's more stuff. We didn't get there. Martin Luther King.
Oh, yeah.
I liked Martin Luther King.
He was a good man.
He was
still
a very
going.
Good man. Is it still going?
Yeah.
Well, there were certain times. It was a time of unrest among blacks and whites. There was integration. Everybody was integrated. No blacks or whites went to school together. There was a big difference in the way they lived. Rosa Parks was foremost, and she said, "I am not going to the back of the bus." They had to sit in the back of the bus. They couldn't go to the same restroom that you went to. They couldn't drink out of the same water fountain that you drank out of as a Caucasian person. Rosa Parks said, "I am not going back there." She was an old lady. She said, "I am sitting where I want to sit on the bus. I'm not going to the back of the bus." And so she started a whole movement of her own, and she was quite a gal. And then Martin Luther King came, and he was advocating not violence, but just equality and justice. And they had the Million Man March, was it, with Martin Luther King? I think Million something. Anyway, they marched peacefully. They weren't in any way disruptive. But he was a very peaceable man, and he was shot and killed. Back in the mid to late 60s, the first man on the moon came, and I remember watching it on TV. I even took a picture with my camera of the TV screen when he put his first foot down on the moon, and that was an exciting thing. We had the man on the moon.
Is this your same black and white TV?
No, by that time it was color, I think, wasn't it? Maybe. Let's see. It may have been black and white, but that was in the mid 60s. Mm-hmm. So that was after I had Michael. Uncle Mike was born, and he was young. I don't think Greg was born yet. So sometime after 1965, 67, 68, somewhere in there, maybe 69, I'm not
Greg
sure.
Greg is old.
They're not old. But anyway, yeah, that was important. And golly, what else? I can't think of what else. Anyway, the space program came to be. They were really into getting into outer space, getting to the moon, being the first ones, beating Russia. The Cold War was very present. The Cold War between Russia and Americans. It was bad. It was really bad. Khrushchev and Richard Nixon, and it was just a rough time. A rough time for the world. And I can't say that it's gotten any easier. But those are some of the main things I think that happened. Or lots of technology changes, lots of growth in technology area. with the growth of technology has been has done more probably to demolish family relationships because everybody's on their phone or on their computer and they're not paying attention to one another. So you don't want old grandma's advice. Anyway, I think that's all I can say.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, this concludes our interview for real now. thank you for listening. Have a blessed day.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, hold on. There we go.